In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in that old one. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. And though I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not
chapter 22. Book of Revelation, chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness that leadeth us to repentance. We thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus that came to the cross to die and pay for our sins. I pray, Father, that you would open up the ears of everyone here, that you would open up the hearts to understand. I pray, dear Lord, if anybody here is not saved, that you would deal with that heart. And above all, my Father, I pray that you would give me the ability And Lord, that you would receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I've been saved about 25 years. And in those 25 years, I've talked to many people. And throughout those years, I have found that there's so many people that are afraid of the book of Revelation. Some have told me. Others have just, in conversation, I listened to them as they say that they're afraid of the book of Revelation. And of course, if some of them have read it all, some have read part, some have just heard others speak about the things that are going to come. And I don't blame them for fearing the book of Revelation. It's full of woes. It's full of things that are going to come on this earth. And even the Lord Jesus Christ said that the things that are going to happen during that tribulation is going to be the worst days that this world has ever seen. Never has it been that bad. Nevertheless, I don't fear, and no Christian should fear, because we won't be here. But I can understand why somebody else would fear. Nevertheless, this same book is the only book in the Scriptures that also tells you, blessed is he who readeth this book. Blessed is he who hears these words. Blessed is he who keepeth these words. So it's amazing how, even though it scares so many people at the same time, God is saying that you would be blessed if you would just listen to it. If you would just hear it. If you would just read it. Because sometimes people get saved by compassion, but sometimes they get saved by fear. Nevertheless, this verse that I have just read to you, the one that will be my text, to me, it just sums everything up. It sums up the whole Bible, the whole New Testament. It tells you, it opens up the heart of God, and we're able to see what this is all about. It's just like the gospel, the verse, John 3:16. Because we see in the Scriptures, when the Lord Jesus came to this world, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was ready to die for mankind. He came for that purpose. And He even said it, for this purpose have I come into this world. He also said in another place that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So what we have here, beloved, is an invitation. An invitation that to me looks like it's extremely urgent. And it's an invitation that is universal. It's an invitation that has been given many times. Not only that, but it's also the last invitation in the Bible. But first of all, let me read this verse again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, first of all, let's talk about the water. What is this water? We see in life that water is what gives life. You can't survive unless you drink water. We also see that the things of this world, the trees, the herbs, the grass, everything depends on water. But the thing is that this is talking about giving eternal life. So we know it's not just the physical water. Nevertheless, in the Old Testament, we find it only in types and figures and in shadows. We see also that when the people of Israel were taken out of Egypt, they began to cry out for water. They knew they would die without water. And then the Lord gives them that rock. And then they had to hit that rock, and He began to give them that water. Nevertheless, every one of those people that were 20 years and older, they all died. It was a physical water. But the water that we're talking about is a spiritual water. Most of it is in shadows and types, until you get to the book of Isaiah chapter 12. And he says this, with joy shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation. This is the first indication and the only indication in the Old Testament that somehow water was going to have to do with salvation. It was talking about the Holy Spirit. But we get into the New Testament, and then God begins to make it very clear. We see, first of all, in John chapter 4, where the Lord had a conversation with a lady. You know the story, the Samaritan woman. And the Lord began to talk to her, and He says, if you knew who was talking to you, or if you knew the gift of God and who it is that talketh to you, You would have asked of Him that water, and He would have given you living water. He went on to explain to this lady that the water that she was going to drink from that well, you're going to thirst again. He made the distinction between physical and spiritual. And then He went on to say that whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. And eventually it will spring up into everlasting life. We see the Lord Jesus also in Matthew, or rather in John chapter 7. We see also after the Feast of Tabernacles, which would last for 7 days, we see that the Lord would go out there and stand there on the last day of that feast. And He said very clearly, He says, if any man thirst, let it come unto me and drink. Again, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And then in the book of Revelation chapter 21, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. He says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So we see that throughout the Scriptures, just comparing Scripture with Scripture, line by line, precept by precept, we see that the Scripture is telling us here that this water is none else than the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that will save you, my friend. But He says on verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. First of all, He says, and the Spirit and the bride. Let me talk about the Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of God that convicts men. The Spirit is what brings conviction to you. The church is supposed to go out and preach. The Spirit of God will convict you. We see also that Jesus said also in John chapter 16, He says that when the Spirit of God is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It is the Spirit of God that will convict. Of course, you understand also the story very well in the book of Luke chapter 16. The story of that rich man and Lazarus when they both died. You remember the story that this man, that rich man, he went to hell. And the Bible says that when he began to plead, he never once pleaded or asked God for anything. When he began to plead for water, he didn't even ask for a glass of water. He didn't even tell Abraham, hey, Abraham, can you please throw me a hose over here and turn on the faucet? He didn't say none of those things, yet I want you to understand one thing. That man understood everything like you and I. He had better cognizance. He could even recognize Abraham, who had already died thousands of years before. This man had good mind, a good intelligence. But I want you to know that when he began to plea, he asked for Abraham, Father Abraham. He never asked to God. Why didn't he ask for God? Why didn't he plead to God and say, God, forgive me. Would you give me another chance? I would like to appeal this conviction. I don't think I really did that wrong. I never did nothing wrong. Is it my fault that I was rich? Is it my fault that I enjoyed life? Why did you send me here? He never once made an argument. The thing is that the Spirit of God that's supposed to reprove had already reproved him, had already found him guilty. In his own mind, he understood he had no more hope. He had no more chance. He wasn't pleading to God. He wasn't even asking for a glass of water, just for Lazarus to wet his finger and put it on his tongue. What I want you to know is that this man had been convicted of sin. He had been convicted of sin because he had not believed in Jesus. And everyone who goes to hell will be convicted of the same immediately. You're convicted here in this world while you're alive that you need to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to save your soul. And you will know it extremely well once you go to hell. This man was not asking for salvation. He was not asking to get out or to get another chance. He knew he was toast. He knew he was there forever. He would never come back again. He had been convicted of sin. But listen also who is doing the invitations. Beside the Spirit of God, he says, and the bride say, come. I want you to understand one thing, that the bride is the church. Over and over we see it. Even the Apostle Paul says, I have espoused you to one, even Jesus Christ, that I might present to him a chaste virgin. The church is the bride. But you see, the thing is, he doesn't say in here, and the bride and the pastors. He doesn't say, and the bride, or rather, and the spirit and the missionaries. He doesn't say, and the spirit and the preachers. He doesn't say, and the spirit and those who like to go out in the streets. He says, the spirit and the bride. That means you've been employed. You've also been commissioned. You're supposed to also go out. Look what happened in Poland. It wasn't only the missionaries. It wasn't only those that came from the U.S. It was everybody involved. I guarantee you the wives were out there. Their children were out there. Everybody was out there. And you were also involved. If you've been giving money and you've been supporting and you've been praying for them, you will partake of their labors. You're also involved. That's why the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. You should be involved. And if not, you ought to feel ashamed. The Bible says that we're all being commissioned. But look what he says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. You know, I see this as a very urgent message. And he that heareth. What do you mean, he that heareth? Aren't they saved? I thought it was only those that were saved. But he's talking about everybody. Let's get everybody employed. Everybody's commissioned. Let's go out and tell. I remember, well, let me just give you another story here in the scriptures. I started to tell you about that lady, the Samaritan woman. When the Lord was speaking to her, she didn't get saved. The Lord would tell her, if you knew who was talking to you, and if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, this lady began to think physical. He said, you know what, let me have that water because I don't want to thirst again. Finally, the Lord had to tell her, go get your husband, somebody that can maybe understand a little better. But I want you to know what this lady did. She was not saved at this time. She hadn't been converted, but she was a hearer. And she went and told. She went and told, hey, is not this the prophet? Is not this the Messiah? Is not him the one that we had been waiting for? So you see, this is something that the Bible is telling you here. And him that heareth also. I remember when I had just gotten saved, I was so excited. I remember that immediately, even before I got saved, I had just been a hearer, but I would come home and tell my wife. I would tell her, look what I found in the scriptures. Look what this tract says, and it says the same thing in our Bible. And finally, we both got saved, and we were so enlightened. We were so excited about the good news. We finally realized, man, it's so simple. We wanted to tell the whole world. And we began, first of all, with our own relatives and our own friends. And we began to talk to my wife's family. And I thought for sure everybody would be so happy. I thought everybody would accept and receive the good news just like I had received it. But you see, my eyes were already opened. I could see already what God meant about getting those scales falling off. I didn't understand too many things. I was a baby in Christ. But then I began to hear, no, you know what? If all my relatives have gone to hell, then I'll just go with them. I couldn't understand that. Others would tell me, you know what? Don't tell me this again. And my wife would be told, please don't tell us again. I remember at the police department, I would go at that time when you would get off duty, You would go up to the first floor where the complaint desk is, and they had a big, humongous box there, and everybody would throw in their reports. Those that were typing the reports would get them from there, and then they'd continue typing 24 hours a day. And I remember that I would go there, and I would stand right there by the complaint desk. All the policemen coming in, I'd be witnessing to everybody. I thought they all wanted to hear. I had good news for them. And some would not listen to me. They wouldn't talk to me. And some would tell me, you know what, Mr. Noyola, I'd rather stay ignorant. I don't want to know nothing. That same lady who told me that later on got saved. Amen. She's already retired. But she got saved and is a faithful witness. But I want you to know that I really thought that everybody would just listen to what I had to say. But look what it says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You know, the thing is that this seems to me like it's a universal invitation. Amen. It seems to me like it's anybody that's thirsty. We find the same thing in the Old Testament. We find Isaiah saying, ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Come and buy and eat without price and without money. It has no price. I want you to understand, you can't buy the gospel. You can't buy salvation. The Bible is very plain that you're saved by grace through faith. It's no works of you. I understood this right away after reading the scriptures that it was none of my goodness. I had none. It was none of my righteousness. The Bible said it was all nothing but dirty rags. I understood it very plainly. But the Bible was telling me here that it's without money. You can't buy it. But you know something also that I see in here? You're not to be passive. Amen. Even though it's not of works, you're not supposed to just listen to it and that's it. Salvation is not just a mental assent. It's not just accepting and say, yeah, I believe and that's it. It's just like if you would go out in the wilderness, take for example the children of Israel, when they were all crying for water. There were so many of them. Well, the rock was only in one place. What about the ones that were several miles behind? What if the word had come, hey, we just found some water is coming out of a rock. And those in the back say, yeah, yeah, I believe it. But then they don't do nothing. What do you think would happen? It's the same thing that if you're, I remember growing up, I would always see movies of somebody looking for water in the desert. And they'd be finally there crawling because they ran out of water. And finally somebody finds the water and he yells, water, water, we found water, come on over. What if you're the other guy a block away? And what if you say, yeah, I believe you, but then you don't go. You don't make an effort. You don't do anything, and that's exactly what the Bible is telling you here. He that is athirst, come, and I will give you of that water. You know, the thing is that there's a saying that I've heard many times, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. I know that to be very true. I've got a horse, and I'll take him to the water sometimes. He'd run out of water once in a while, and I'm out there, and I can't make him drink it. He likes to play with the hose while I'm trying to put it in. He likes to play, let's wet the horse, but he won't drink the water. And finally, he'll drink at his convenience and when he wants to. You know what I find? People are just the same. They're not horses. Nevertheless, they think the same way. You can lead them to the water. You can tell them about Jesus. You can tell them the good news. But they're just like the horse. I believe it, but I ain't going to drink it. The thing is, my friend, that the Bible tells you that you're going to have to give an account of yourself. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's what the Bible says. The thing is that mom and dad are not going to give an account for you. You're not going to give an account for your mom and dad. Everybody is responsible. Everybody will be convicted of God. You will know exactly what you have to say. But look at here in verse 17 again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of this water of life freely. Whosoever will. You know, I looked in the Scriptures, because so many times this word whosoever, some people don't like to believe it. But I found that it exists in the New Testament 66 times. It comes out in the Old Testament 70 times. And every time it means the same thing. Whosoever. But it's a universal call that the Bible gives us. And we have many universal calls in the Scriptures. You read the book of Isaiah, and he makes it very plain in chapter 45 of Isaiah. He says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the world. Look unto me. It's just like that fiery serpent. When they wind up putting that brazen serpent up, the information was, whosoever looketh. And that's what the Lord also referred to that, what had happened in the wilderness. When he said, just like in the serpent in the wilderness, so must it happen to me. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever will look on him would have eternal life. But this is exactly what Isaiah is saying. He's repeating actually what God has said. He's saying that, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world. Also, we find it very clearly in the book of Matthew chapter 22. He says, go ye therefore into the highways and bid them to come in. Anyone that you find, bid them to come in. That's what I was telling some of the brothers this morning. Where's everybody? We need to get in the streets and bid them to come in. Anybody. This place ought to be full. I know that many people go on vacation, but man, I would love to see big crowds coming in. I wish they would really understand how serious this is. I wish they would understand the message that we have to preach. The thing is that even the Apostle Paul tells us, who will have all men to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to know this morning that you belong to that class of whosoever. You're also included here. Anybody that is desirous, anybody that is athirst, you can come to God this morning. You know, it is. God is not in the business of taunting. He will not tell you to come in to the waters. He will not tell you, come on to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. He will not tell you those things if he didn't know you could. Otherwise, he would be taunting. Otherwise, he would be mocking. If the Lord tells you to come, the Spirit of God says come, the bride says come, obviously you can. But you know, the thing is that sometimes people get confused. A long time ago, we were saved and we were always going somewhere to witness to somebody. Or if not, it would be a group of Christians would get together somewhere to have fellowship. And this was a long time ago, and there were several people there, and one lady was talking to us about her church, that there was somebody there that wanted to get saved. And then I remember that Angie and Roland were there with us, and Angie asked the lady, and then what did you do? And the lady said, well, I'm waiting for God to save her. And then Angie said, well, tell her the gospel. Give her the plan of salvation. Lead her through the Roman road. And she says, no, it can't be that way. And we got into it. But I want you to know, my friend, that the Bible is very plain. God has made it very plain, and the message throughout the Scriptures is universal. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. This is right before the flood. Noah had been preaching. People were not getting saved. The Lord also told us that in the last days it will be just like these days, in the days of Noah. It's not going to be too many whoosh like we just heard about, the good news. How so many people responded. How so many people have received the word with gladness. But this is actually the way I thought it would be. I thought that when I would go and talk to people, that it would be like Peter. Everybody would receive the word with gladness, and then I was surprised that they don't receive it with gladness. But look what the Lord says here in Genesis chapter 6. He says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men." You know, a lot of the things in the scriptures, when you read it, it also has a lot of implications. When you read the verse that I gave you in the book of Revelation, it also implies that salvation has already been provided. Jesus already died and paid for your sins. That's in there. It's a gimme. It's implied. So when he says, come on to the waters, salvation's already been provided. And here we also see something very, very plain. When God says that His Spirit shall not always strive with men, it means that there are some people that will resist the Spirit of God. Otherwise, if there was no resistance, there wouldn't be no striving. If they weren't opposed, there wouldn't be no fight. But God is trying to get people to get saved, just like Stephen right before they stoned him to death in the book of Acts chapter 7. You remember what he told them. He says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. People do resist it. I found this out personally. People resist the Word of God. But you know the thing is, my friend, that it also implies that God also gives up sometimes. My spirit shall not always strive with men. It implies that sometimes God just gets fed up. He is a merciful God, very patient, very pitiful. But there comes a time when He just gives up on people. You read the book of Romans chapter 2 and you see that He gave them up for one thing or another. There's many reasons why. But there is one that I would just like you to understand. He says He also gave them up who knowing the judgment of God. They knew the judgment of God. They didn't want nothing to do with God. This is so sad. I hope that there's none here that you have been given up. I know most of you are the regulars. Most of you have been here like forever. But on the other hand, sometimes I wonder about some. It makes me wonder, have you really gotten saved? Or are you just playing religion? I know you learn the language, you learn the words, you learn the vernacular, you know what to say, you know how to answer any question anybody will ask you. But how about the work in the heart? Amen. Have you really been converted? Have you really examined yourself? Is there any love for God? Or are you just playing the game? You have fooled everybody. Not too long ago, I heard of one. I won't mention whether it's a man or woman, but there was one person that had been to church forever. Her parents were Christians. And now I understand that this person has already admitted, I'm not saved. And of course, I never saw the fruit. But this person knew the language, knew the verses, but had never been a conversion, had never really accepted the Lord Jesus. And sometimes it makes me wonder with some people. I pray that this morning you haven't been one of those. This is the last invitation in the Scriptures. This is the last time that it's written where God is making an invitation. Come to the waters. The Spirit and the bride say, come, are you thirsty? You know, let me tell you something about being thirsty. I was thirsty for righteousness. Jesus does say, blessed is he who thirsts for righteousness. But I used to believe that it was the righteousness of the world. I thought that I had to be thirsting for people to stop sinning, for people to stop committing crimes. I was looking at the world until I realized, you know, it's not the world, it's me. Blessed is he who thirsts for righteousness. And I remember very clearly when I got saved, the words that I spoke to the Lord. I remember that I was saying, Lord, I'm tired of being a hypocrite. The whole world knows me as a righteous man. They think I'm good. I speak well. I'm not doing all kinds of things that are wrong, but I know I'm wicked. And I was telling the Lord, I'm tired of being a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody who acts one way, but he's actually another. And I repented of my sins. I didn't want to be like that. I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I thirsted for righteousness, but not for somebody else's, but for me. Have you thirsted for that? Have you asked the Lord, I'm tired, Lord, of playing the game? Mom and Dad think I'm saved. They see me here all the time, and I even carry a Bible that matches my shoes. But the thing is, how about your heart? Does it match your mouth? Does it really reflect what's in your heart? Are you happy to be here and listen to the Word of God? Amen. The Bible says, blessed is he that heareth. Are you being blessed this morning? That's what the Bible says. If there's no blessing, if you're bored, if you're frustrated, there's something wrong with your heart. This might be the last invitation you'll ever hear. You don't know when you'll go. You don't know when the Lord will come for us. I was just reading yesterday on a publication that comes out for the policemen. It's called the Centurion. I've mentioned it before. And there's a place in the back of it. It's for retirees. The retirees corner. That's what I like to read. And I was just reading that in the last year, 16 retired policemen passed away. And this is also includes the fire department. 17 firemen also passed away. And I said, man, that's too many. It's going to get to me real quick. I'm also retired. I didn't want, and I look at this, but you know what? I know better. It don't matter when I go. I know that as soon as I step out of this body, I'll be present with the Lord. I have examined myself. I know I love the Lord. I know He saved my soul. He changed my life. How about yours? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't pretend that you're truly saved just because you carry a Bible, or just because you come to church, or because your mama is here all the time and your dad, and they're very faithful. It depends on you. Each one of us will have to give an account to God one of these days. I hope this is the last invitation that you'll have to hear. I pray that you will get saved today. Amen. You don't know what will happen when you step out. Many people die all day long. Every so many seconds, somebody dies for one reason or another. I've read statistics that so often somebody gets killed. Every so many minutes, somebody dies of a heart attack. Every so many minutes, this and that. The thing is, it seems like if you put it all together, it's about several every second. And the thing is that you don't know when you'll be one of those. You don't know when the Lord will say to you, your time is up. It's going to be a shame if He calls you a fool. Fool, today I will require your life. Don't be called a fool by God. That's why the Bible is very urgent. It's very, very explicit. He says the Spirit and the Bride say come. Listen to the Spirit of God. He's the one that convicts. I can't convict nobody. The Bride, the church, the pastors, the preachers. Our job is just to present the Word, to give the Word. But it is the Spirit of God that will convict you. If you step out of this church and your life has to do with drinking, it has to do with partying. That's exactly what that man was doing in the book of Luke. He was only concerned about self. He was only concerned about satisfying self. This man was doing real good every day, and it doesn't tell us about a wicked life that he was leading. It doesn't even tell us that it was a bad party that they were having. There's no such thing that they were snorkeling or snorting cocaine or shooting dope. Nevertheless, this man winded up in hell, and once he got there, he understood why he was there. He didn't even ask for forgiveness no more. You won't come out. Don't make a mistake. In this life, we make mistakes all the time, beloved. I have made many mistakes, but in salvation, you can't afford it. You can't afford to be fooled. And your heart will fool you. The devil will fool you. This world will fool you. But I want you to know that the Lord is inviting you. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Why do you wait? Why do you play around with fire? This is more serious than a Russian roulette. A Russian roulette, you put one bullet in the cylinder and then you spin it and blank, blank. But let me tell you, with this, it's like loading all the cylinders. All the bullets are in there and you spin it. You're going to go. You're not going to miss it. The best thing to do is to repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you of that living water. He will give you the Spirit of God. He will give you eternal life. Listen to what God has to say. He's very urgent. He says, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And he that thirsteth, he that heareth, they're all telling you, you ought to come to Jesus. We're going to now sing at number 249. We're going to stand. I'd like to open up the altar. If you want to ask the Lord to save your soul, you ought to do it publicly. The Lord called everyone that He called in the Scriptures, He called them publicly. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of Him. Why don't you just come forward and say you want to get saved? The Lord is ready to hear you. 249.